2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Notice that I did not type in the word hour in the process of this. The hour used there is a colloquial use, as the Apostle Paul is referring to the overwhelming ideals of the gospel of Christ. And he is speaking there in his writing about the fact that it is the gospel of the Lord. The concept of this gospel is later on in this passage in 2 Corinthians 4, talking about the glorious gospel. And the idea of the glorious gospel is used for Paul and provided to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 11 as a glory gospel. The idea that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our gospel is not in contradiction to the gospel of Christ. If our gospel is hid, he says, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not. He talks about the fact that there are people in this old world in which we live, that they simply are not going to see the message of the gospel. And the reason they're not going to see it is not because it's not available to them, not because they couldn't be objective and see the glorious gospel and the hope of the soul. But later on in that very passage of 2 Corinthians 4, down just a couple of verses later, he talks about having this message of the gospel in the knowledge that they could get. But they are not people who desire the knowledge, because the God of this world has blinded their minds that they might not see this glorious gospel, that they might not see the plan of salvation. Sad it is to be in that kind of a situation in life, to say the least. Salvation from sin is found in obeying the gospel. And in Paul's writing of 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, to you that are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, with the mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the gospel, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea is that obeying the gospel will spare them from being punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glorious power. The idea is that we need to be people who obey this gospel to escape the penalty for sin. If it be hidden, the Revised Standard Version says if the gospel be veiled, if it be veiled, the idea of covering over, just not quite visible, it's just hidden to the view. And I believe the King James has an accurate idea of this meaning. It is hidden. It is something that is available. If you could get the obstruction out of the way. And how can we get that obstruction out of the way? Well, here's one way in which we do this thing. We find ourselves obeying the gospel. How do we obey the gospel? Well, notice that the beginning is with faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, if it's impossible to do anything to please God without this one thing, you know, that's the beginning thing. And when people have a discussion about faith, and the discussion about believing, then the hope is for the soul that they can benefit from the greatness. When we find ourselves as Christians practicing, let's just say in this regard, something that would be familiar with us all, the idea of having perhaps a real gossip going on. And that gossip is accepted in word by someone who says, I thought I saw. And the person who heard it has said, well, so-and-so said they thought they saw. It must be. And somebody else said, well, where there's smoke, there's got to be fire. And as a result of the gossip and the continuation of it, a whole congregation or a whole belfry of people believe that that's the way that it is. And they can't be convinced otherwise. They can't be persuaded otherwise. That can happen in political circles when a certain view is espoused, and there are people who believe it no matter what, no matter what the facts may reveal. That's led some to say, do not tell me the truth. I'm satisfied with what I believe already. And the concept that I'm okay with it, now, I don't need an objective look at it, is the very thing that Jesus ran into when he came and saw the Pharisees in their positions and the Sadducees in their positions. And as a result of that, our Lord Jesus was sad about that occasion. And in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, at the times of talking about sad occasions that would take place, and then subsequent to that, going to the cross, you remember Jesus wept as he stood one day on the mountainside above Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, killest those that are sent to thee, how often would I call thee unto me? As a mother hen called her chicks under her wing, and ye would not." The sadness is evident in the words of Jesus, and the mannerisms that are described there are such that is sad. Later on, Jesus will pray with great sweat drops of blood. The idea that he could have been actual blood that would be dripping from the capillaries because of the intense stress that he was under, but it could be in regard to the fact that it was sweat like that, in the sense that sweat drops were like that. And they were so immunated from it. You can tell that Jesus was hard hurt and hard bothered by the hardness of the hearts of the individuals that he wanted to reach, he wanted to save. The Apostle Paul reached into that particular thought and had that kind of feeling toward Israel as well. Romans 10, you remember, he leads off by saying, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Because he said, "I bear the record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to set up their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Many of our religious friends these days find themselves religious and involved with some type of activities of religion. Even members of the church in various places find themselves in more of a spirit of and teaching of a community church kind of program. They fellowship most anything that's taught. They do not have any objective look at it. They find themselves led by leaders who are satisfied with that and who are discouraging any objective thought. They discourage anyone to raise a question. Could it be another position? Could it be another point of view? Could it be something else that is said? They have leadership in those churches that tell them no. You cannot talk about that. You cannot be here. If you're not happy, then you need to be somewhere else. And you need to go there quickly, and you don't need to disturb the people that are here that are well satisfied with the ideals that are being said. And that's going on just far and wide. It's going on all across the nation, it seems like. Somewhat, it looks like, bigger cities and collegiate towns than in smaller congregations and in rural areas of the various states of the nation. But it seems like that these things are prevalent and they're spreading. And the concept that I don't have to discuss anything, I don't have to be objective in my look at anything, that flies in the face of everything we read in Jesus' ministry and everything that we read from Peter, Paul, James, and Jude. Let's just take one of them, and that's a book for me, one that I want us to remember on and on in 1 John 4, when he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so we need to teach our little children that there are false prophets out there, that not every congregation is a faithful congregation, that those who are objective and those who can be taught, work with them, stay with them, and don't work with them and help them out to know the truth. But then you find a congregation of leadership and activities that they are going to believe what they want to believe in spite of any objective presentations that are given to them, then it's time to move on for yourself and your family. It's time to be faithful to the Lord no matter what. And as it says here in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, when you see this gospel, it'll shine in your heart. It shined in our hearts, Paul is writing there. It shined in our hearts, this gospel message, for something we could see, we could glory in, we could have light shine in it. It's an objective truth of the Lord. And so with the objective teaching of the Lord, we find that we begin with that faith. And when we begin with that faith, we practice that way of faith, and we find ourselves ultimately seeing Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And that is that we are blessed by being in Christ. That all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. If we get to where all those spiritual blessings are found, then we can be saved from sin because we are in Christ. And we read in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, in Galatians 3 and verse 28, where believers are said to be baptized into Christ. and believers were said to put on Christ as they're baptized into him. When we find ourselves being people who obey the Lord, we find a new relationship with him. We find a hope for the soul with him. We find a joy that we should have and that we can have in every good.